Thank you, Lord, that not only do you give us a desire to be faithful, but you give us a way to be faithful. And Lord, your grace is sufficient for every need. And Lord, I pray that we might learn this morning how to apply your word, how that we might walk in your grace constantly. Thank you, Lord, that you love us enough to want us there, because your goodness and your holiness is the very best life that we can live. And Lord, I pray that you would search my heart and remove anything that would hinder the working of the Holy Spirit through me. Use me as your instrument. Open our understanding. Teach us your truth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The first thing I want you to see is the principle itself. Now, in this, God is trying to show us that we have to take things little by little. The only means of faithfulness is the grace of God. Amen? Without God's grace, you can't be faithful. I can't be faithful without God's grace. And so God wants us to understand in this principle that unless we are faithful in the little things, we lose God's grace. We walk out from under God's protection. And then when the big things come, we have no protection. We have no grace. And so it's always the little things that we have to watch. Notice here he says, he that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. And he that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much. It is a problem when we step out from under God's grace, then we become sinful totally. You see, we're guilty of everything when we're guilty of anything. And so God says that if we are unfaithful in that which is least, then we're going to be unfaithful in everything. There is a tremendous freedom to us in Christ Jesus. Now listen to this very carefully. 1 Corinthians 10:13 says, there hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man, but God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape that ye may be able to bear it. Now, that tells us that we have everything we need to be faithful to God. Everything we need. But the problem is we have an adversary. And he's constantly trying to get us to come out from under God's grace. And if we listen to him and we take the bait, the time when we do that, it is a choice. Now listen to me very carefully here. There is that instant when you have the grace to say no to the devil. You resist the devil, he'll flee from you. You have that instant there. If you decide to toy with it, you walk out from under God's grace. And now you have no protection. Now you're just up for grabs. And you have reverted back to the flesh. And so therefore the flesh will do what comes natural. And that is, we sin. It's a very simple principle. God says you have to be faithful when you can be faithful, or you won't be able to be faithful. You see that? When you can say no, say no. And the next time, say no. And the next time, say no. And you'll always have God's grace to back up your no. And the devil will flee from you. But if you ever say yes, you lose the ability to say no. A whole lot of people wait too long to try to say no, and then they have no grace to use to say no. It's very important. You see, Christian victory is a given for us. Remember what the Lord said? If you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. So I don't feel real free. We live too much in the flesh. God wants us as his people to return to walking in his spirit and to having the victory that God has called us to through his grace, because that's the way Christians are designed to live. We just have to make those right decisions when we have the ability to do that. You see, the devil would have you believe that you would always have that ability. If you are tempted to do something, and you could say yes or you could say no, and you know that you could say yes or you could say no, he'll say, well, you can try this, and then you can still say no. But the truth is, when you try this, it's all over with. Your ability to say no is gone. And you're just exposed out there. And so therefore, if you're unfaithful when you could be faithful, then you will be unfaithful when you can't be faithful. On the other hand, if you are faithful when you can be faithful, then you will find that you will also have the ability to be faithful when you couldn't have otherwise. And so that's the principle that we need to understand. We have tremendous freedom in Christ. I'm going to tell you, that's good news, folks. The devil would have you believe that you are his servant and there's nothing you can do about it. He can wear you out anytime he wants to. And the Bible says there are people like that who are taken captive by him at his will. Whenever he takes a notion, they go down. And he wants you to believe that you are like that. But as a Christian, you have tremendous freedom in Christ Jesus. There is no temptation that you have to do. You always have the ability to say no if you choose. Okay? That's the freedom that we have in this principle. But the failure. Now I want you to listen to this. There is a way that we can fail to follow this principle. And when we do, we become unfaithful. Romans 6, 15 and 16. What then? Shall we sin because we're not under the law but under grace? God forbid. Know you not that to whom you yield yourself servants to obey, his servants you are to whom you obey, whether of sin and of death, or of obedience unto righteousness? Failure comes when we toy with sin when we could have said no. If we submit to the devil in that moment when we could say no, we become his servant. We signed up, and the devil will wear you out. And you will be taken captive by him at his will. He may not do it right off. He may give you a few minutes so that you don't realize what happened. But you're going to fall. And so the failure comes when we choose not to obey when we could obey. You say, Brother Allen, you're stressing that over and over and over. This is the principle. This is where it's at right here. You wait too long, you lose your ability to say no. And that's where failure comes from. And that's the reason God wants us to walk in fellowship with him. You see, we need to, the Bible says to pray without ceasing. Well, what exactly does that mean? We have other things to do. We can't stay on our knees all day long. What does it mean? It means to always be in fellowship with God, talking to God about everything as you go. If you're in fellowship with God, then God is steadily cleansing your mind from sin. It's a wonderful thing. The longer you can go in fellowship with God, the cleaner your mind is going to become. And God wants your mind to be pure and clean and only settled on him. Listen to 1 John 1, 6 and 7. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. All right. He's just kind of setting the stage here for what he's going to say. He said, you can't walk in darkness while you're in fellowship with God. Those two things don't work. You can't leave the darkness in a room and turn the light on. One or the other's got to go. Either the light's got to go or the dark's got to go. You can't have both at the same time. And so you cannot walk in darkness, that's the flesh, and claim that you're walking in the light at the same time. It's just an absolute impossibility. And then he says, but if we walk in the light, he, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. The same principle, the same idea is here in this passage. If I choose some darkness and some light, I'm in darkness. But if I walk in the light, and everything that comes before me for a judgment, I have to either say yes or say no. I always choose the light rather than the darkness. Then I am walking in fellowship with God. If I decide to choose the darkness at some point, I'm totally in darkness and out of fellowship with God. And I need that fellowship restored. But if I walk in the light as He is in the light, I have that fellowship, and the blood of Jesus Christ is continually cleansing me from all unrighteousness. We come to God with a whole lot of baggage. Amen? Whole lot of stuff that's going on in our mind, and it has taken root in our mind, and it needs to be purified. Well, the Bible says that the Lord is going to present His church to Himself without spot, without blemish, through the washing of water by the Word. And so as we walk in fellowship with God and we fellowship with Him in His Word and we study His Word and we meditate on His Word, He's cleansing our minds. And He makes it to where all those old things can just kind of go by the wayside while His wonderful righteousness fills us. Now the perception of what it means to be faithful is important. I want us to look at the perception now. Here in this verse, he says, "He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. And he that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much." Some people look at that as that there are levels of sin. There's no levels of sin, folks. When we start thinking of sin in levels, we can judge one another. You know, I may sin, but I don't do like you do. Or you can say to me, well, I may sin, but I don't sin like you sin. You see, there's different levels in our minds. Sin with God. And so whenever we start thinking of it that way, then it becomes very dangerous, because then we try to qualify ourselves, and that's a fleshly effort. And the flesh can never please God. This is what James says in James 2:10. "For whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, he is guilty of all." What's he done? He's walked out from under God's grace. And you, out from under God's grace, are back in your depraved state. And it's only by the grace of God, His general grace on you, that keeps you from self-destructing when you get in that mode. And so it's important to understand there are no levels to sin. God does not say there's good sins and bad sins. Good sins, I can't even imagine. How do you have a good sin? See, every sin is sin. And we walk out from under God's grace. Solomon said a long time ago, it's the little foxes that spoil the grapes. You see, it's when we make that wrong choice on the front end. When we say yes when we should say no, when we could say no, then we lose it. And now we're in sin altogether. So there are no levels. You're either in or you're out. You're a saint or you ain't. And when we are in that situation, we have to choose to stay in obedience to God. If we don't, it leads to legalism. Legalism is working my way to heaven by the way I live in my flesh. Everybody understand that? Legalism is putting things out there that if I do these things, then I will be accepted of God. Or if I quit doing these things, I will be accepted of God. That's legalism. It is important that we do things the right way. Don't get me wrong. What I'm saying is, doing things the right way does not make me a better Christian. Legalism is, I'm helping God make me more clean. But listen to what Galatians 1 says. "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage." What is the yoke of bondage? It is the law of sin and death. "The soul that sinneth, it shall die." Don't go back under that bondage. We have been set free. There is therefore now no condemnation of those that are in Christ Jesus who walk not after the flesh but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set me free from the law of sin and death. I am free from any condemnation. And so legalism puts that condemnation back on us. If you do this, God's mad. If you do this, God's mad. It's not going to work that way. God says His love will never leave us. There's nothing that can ever separate us from the love of God. So we have to be very careful in our perception that what God is saying here is not, I'm going to love you better if you do this, or I'm going to love you less if you do that. He is trying to show us that the way into victory is constant, immediate obedience. What about this liberty that we have? Now see, some people in the perception go too far the other way. So we have to be careful about this liberty. In 1 Peter 2, 13 through 16 says, submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be to king as supreme or unto governors, as unto them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of them that do well. For so is the will of God, that with well-doing ye may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men, as free and not using your liberty as a cloak of maliciousness, but as the servants of God. Now it sounds like a contradiction, doesn't it? He's saying, you do what's right. Not so that you can work your way to heaven, not so that you can get in the good graces of God. Do what's right, so that you will be a testimony of the light of Jesus Christ to the world. And if you fail, we have an advocate with the Father. Come running to Jesus, confess your sins, and He will forgive all your sins. So the perception is very important here. We need to understand that what God is giving us is a formula whereby we can be faithful. We all want to be faithful. If you're a Christian, you want to be faithful. That's just part of what God gives us when the Holy Spirit comes in to live with us. Now, how to perform that may escape us. We may have a lot of trouble being faithful, but we desire to be faithful. And so what God is doing here is He's showing us how to be faithful. The reason He's showing us this is because the devil will try to lead you astray in your perception of faithfulness so that you're not able to apply what God is really teaching us to do. And so the perception is very important. What about the practice? What do we do with this? How do we apply this in our lives so that we are faithful? First, we have to understand the goal. And the goal is sinless perfection. Preached on this one time in seminary, and everybody laughed. I said, God doesn't expect you to be perfect. I said, okay, try to imagine with me a situation in which God says, now, I want you to sin in this situation. Not going to happen. You take every situation, every moment of your life, throughout your life, it is God's will that you not sin. Everybody with that? It is never God's will for you to sin. If it's never God's will for you to sin, then it is always God's will for you not to sin. Okay? So why is that so important? It's so important because if you make provision for your flesh, you will fulfill it. If you say, well, God expects me to sin a little bit. God knows I'm a human and He expects me to sin a little bit. No, He don't. The goal is sinless perfection. Listen to what John says here in 1 John 1, 5 through 7. This then is the message which we have heard of Him and declare unto you, that God is light and in Him is no darkness at all. Now get that. See, there is absolutely no darkness in God. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as He's in the light, We have fellowship one with another in the blood of Jesus Christ, his son. So the goal is sinless perfection. In 1 John chapter 2, he says, my little children, these things have I written unto you that you sin not at all, period. No sin. That's the goal. And when we have that as our goal, then we can proceed with that goal in the practice of our life so that we do not make provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. But if our goal is anything less than sinless perfection, we will sin. Whatever you aim at, you're going to hit. And if you aim at perfection, God will perfect holiness in your life. Now look at what he says here in Romans 5, 1 through 19. What about the grace? How do you get the grace that you need? Where does the grace come from? Is there enough grace to go around? Is God's grace sufficient? And how can we have God's grace? Some people say, well, he just puts it on us. He makes it accessible to us. We have to choose whether we take his grace or we don't. Listen to what he says here. Romans 5:1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access. Underline that word in your mind. We do not have it forced upon us. We have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, but peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we now have received the atonement. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed where there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come. But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. And not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift. For the judgment was by one to condemnation, but the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as by the offense of one judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. We have this grace as a gift from God, accessible to us because we are his children. And we can have that grace anytime we choose, but we have to choose. That's the reason he says it's accessible to us. We can choose to disobey and lose that grace, or we can choose to obey and we have that grace. That's the reason the Lord tells us, don't yield your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. It's a choice. We choose to take God's grace, and God, through His grace, gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. When you're living in victory, you're living in the life of Christ. When you're living in victory, you are shining Jesus to the world. And they see Jesus, not you. And that's what draws men to Christ. And so God has shown us how that we can do all that we need to do to represent Him in the world. It has to be by His grace. Now, what do we gain by doing that? Galatians 5, 16 through 25. Now, listen to what he says. This I say then, walk in the Spirit. And folks, walking in the Spirit, abiding in Christ, being filled with the Spirit, walking in faithfulness, walking in the light, all of those things are synonymous. He gives us all these word pictures to help us understand what he's talking about. And so he says that if we walk in the Spirit, we will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. You can't do both at the same time. You're either in the flesh or you're in the Spirit. If you're in the Spirit, you're not going to fulfill the lust of the flesh. And that is a wonderful promise. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary, the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. He's talking about in the flesh. You can't just decide to do good. You have to have the life of Jesus manifested in you. But if you be led of the Spirit, you're not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. Of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. They that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust. Now listen to this last statement. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. We live in the Spirit because we receive Jesus Christ as our Savior. We're sealed to the day of redemption, so we have eternal life living in us, and that's what it means to live in the Spirit. Our spirit is alive. Before we came to Christ, our spirit was dead in trespasses and sins. When we were born again, we had new life, and that eternal life is the life he's talking about. If we live in the Spirit, then we ought also to walk in the Spirit. That's our physical life. And if we are going to do that, we have to remember this principle. If you're faithful in the things that you can be faithful in, you will always be able to be faithful. But at whatever point you decide to be unfaithful, you lose your ability until God restores it. And the only way to have that restored is to confess your sin to God and have Him bring you back, put you back under His grace, and then you go again as long as you can. It helps me to know how to be faithful. You see, you can't be just taken advantage of as a Christian. You're free. And in that freedom, if you choose, you can walk in the light 24/7. But if you ever choose to play with sin, you lose the right to choose. The first choice is up to you. The second was up to the devil. You see, the devil's just ready to take over. If you yield yourself to him, he'll say, I'll take that. And then it's downhill from there. As important as it is for a lost person to be saved, It is just that important that a Christian walk in the Spirit. One of these days we stand before God, it's going to determine our eternity. What reward we'll have throughout all eternity, we're choosing today. Suppose God had all the wonderful things of heaven, all the wonderful jobs written up here on the big screen, and he says to you, which job do you want in heaven? We'd all want the best jobs in heaven. But we don't choose it like that. God does have all of the jobs of heaven laid out. And he says to us, don't waste your time laying up treasures on earth. Lay up your treasures in heaven. Get the best jobs. You say, Brother Allen, what do I have to do that? Trust and obey. There's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Let's stand and go to the Lord in prayer.